Live from the College of Communication, Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? It's about that time. Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, L. Martin, on this Tuesday, September 12th. 2017. So glad you allowed us to be a part of your weekday afternoon yet again. We've got a fun 60 minutes coming right at you, filled with a ton of sports talk. Well, today's Current Sports, we will have coverage from this morning's Michigan State football press conference from head coach Mark D'Antonio, a bye week presser, seeing as though Michigan State will not be in action this weekend. And they will welcome Notre Dame the following weekend under the lights. Oh, that should be a fun game against the Fighting Irish. But you will get to hear from Mark D'Antonio concerning how his team plans to spend the bye week. You don't want to miss that. Also, we will recap Saturday afternoon's Michigan State football win over Western Michigan. We didn't get a chance to do that much yesterday, seeing as though many of you wanted to talk Detroit Lions all hour. So we'll dive into how the Spartans are looking after 2 weeks of the college football season and what should we look for as Michigan State now prepares for the Fighting Irish. So a lot of Michigan State college football talk and also a little bit of Michigan college football talk as well, as we will talk with Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker from 2012 to 2015. He is now a broadcaster hailing from Ohio. Gant will join us on the show to dive into how the Wolverines have looked after 2 weeks of college football now in the books. The Wolverines, of course, a top 10 program, according to the Associated Press top 25 poll, as well as the coaches poll. And, of course, Jim Harbaugh held his weekly press conference yesterday. A few takeaways for the Wolverines coming out of that press conference, especially as it pertains to injuries, something that you don't normally hear Coach Harbaugh elaborate on. And on the back end of the show, the Cleveland Indians. I mean, this is pretty much a gimme, right? They have now won 19 straight dubs. Impressive, right? And they've got a chance to make history as they will, of course, take on the Detroit Tigers yet again today. You don't want to miss that conversation. And we'll also highlight a former Michigan State football player by the name of Benny Fowler, better known by many around this area as Beans, who hauled in not one but two touchdowns on Monday Night Football. Of course, Benny balling out for the Denver Broncos as the Broncos topped the Chargers last night. That and more, folks. If you want to be a part of the fun, multiple ways you can do so. Pick up that phone, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. You can also join us via social media, where we currently have the Facebook live stream up and running, as we always do, at facebook.com/currentsports, and even tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR_sports, or tweet me personally at Al Martin WKAR. So you know what's next. Here are your Current Sports quick hit headliners. right, and we start with Michigan State men's basketball. Aaron Henry, small forward from Indianapolis, Indiana, has committed to the 2018 MSU men's basketball class. He made the announcement yesterday at 1:59 p.m. via Twitter, saying, "East Lansing, what's good?" The 6'5", 200-pound Henry is considered a three-star prospect by Scout, ranked number 5 among small forwards in Indiana. He helped Ben Davis win an Indiana 4A state championship as a junior last season. This now gives Michigan State 14 scholarship players for the 2018-19 year, one more than the maximum. Now, that would mean at least one player would have to leave early. Now, with Henry's reported commitment, Michigan State has the nation's third-ranked recruiting class for 2018, according to Scout, behind top-ranked Arizona and Southern Cal. That's a very cool story, and I had no idea that Gary Harris, who is now balling out for the Denver Nuggets, had a really big hand in wooing Aaron Henry to come to Michigan State. Very cool stuff there. All right, Darius Phillips, Western's Mr. Do-It-All. For the second consecutive week, the senior Bronco from Dearborn Heights, Robichaud, my high school used to play Robichaud all the time, he earned the Mid-American Conference Special Teams Player of the Week honors after totaling 181 yards in kickoff returns, including a 100-yard dash to the end zone against Michigan State on Saturday. To really put that 181 in perspective, folks, the entire WMU offense had 195 total yards, meaning that Darius Phillips alone was 14 yards away from outdoing the entire Bronco offense. Let that settle in. That's crazy, right? That's now back-to-back weeks in which Phillips has returned a kick 100 yards to the house, with his first coming in the season opener against USC. All right, not so good news for Michigan football fans out there. Michigan freshman defensive end Donovan Jeter will miss the remainder of the 2017 season with an injury. Jim Harbaugh announced that during his press conference on Monday. Jeter, an early enrolled freshie from Beaver Falls, Pennsylvania, he recently had an undisclosed surgical procedure and will not play this year. Elsewhere, freshman defensive lineman Luigi Villain has been sidelined due to an injury through the first 2 weeks. Harbaugh said Villain is not suffering from a long-term injury and will hopefully be back at some point, not long-term. Harbaugh also said freshman receiver Oliver Martin, who has an upper body injury, and redshirt freshman running back Kareem Walker, who has a lower body injury, are both dealing with injuries. Neither was in uniform on Saturday against Cincinnati. Harbaugh said that he will not be discussing dress list moving forward. That's all you get as far as injuries are concerned for this team moving forward. All right, former President Barack Obama and former First Lady Michelle Obama have apparently turned down an offer to serve as honorary captains for the Michigan football team. In a recent interview with WXYZ-TV's Brad Galley, Michigan head coach Jim Harbaugh said the 44th president of the United States and his wife respectfully declined his invites, noting scheduling conflicts. ESPN's Adam Schefter, who is a Michigan alum, served as an honorary captain on Saturday. All right, the Cleveland Indians topped the Detroit Tigers 11-0 on Monday night at Progressive Field to stretch their franchise record winning streak to 19 games. The Indians have been doing nothing but winning for nearly 3 weeks now. The win reduced the Indians' magic number to clinch the AL Central to just 6 games. It stretched their lead for home field advantage in the American League to 1.5 games over idle Houston. It is the longest winning streak in the big leagues since the 2002 Oakland A's won 20 straight. In the big picture, the streak is tied for the 4th longest in history with the 1947 Yankees and the 1906 White Sox. The 1916 New York Giants hold the record with 26 wins, but that streak includes a tie as well. The 1935 Chicago Cubs and 1880, we're talking about historic ties here, folks, and 1880 Chicago White Stockings are tied for second at 21 straight. Wow. And of course, they will look to make it 20 playing the Detroit Tigers again today.
All right, Detroit Lions running back Dwayne Washington. He is still the team's kick returner, folks, according to head coach Jim Caldwell. Now, Caldwell instilled faith in Washington during his press conference on yesterday. First, just Washington had a bad day. He was flagged for unnecessary roughness on a punt return. Then, there was the complete mental lapse on a bouncing kickoff in which he took out of the end zone and was properly dropped at the 7-yard line. Had everybody kind of just scratching their head saying, what in the world are you doing, dude? And then he was benched as kick returner for the rest of the afternoon. Rookie Jamal Agnew took over the rest of the game after that play. Caldwell went on to say, quote, don't expect not to see him back there again. That's what I would like to say to you. He's a young guy. He'll learn and he'll adjust. And many times experience can be a little painful at times, but it does teach great lessons, end quote. I actually like that. Caldwell backing his young player after just a bad start to the season. All right, we'll see how Washington progresses as kick returner for the Lions, as the Lions will play the New York Giants on Monday Night Football just 6 days from now. Former Michigan State wide receiver Benny Beans Fowler had himself a night to remember on Monday Night Football as his Denver Broncos topped the LA Chargers in the late game. Fowler caught 2 touchdown passes from quarterback Trevor Siemian on Denver's way to a 24-21 win over the LA Chargers. Fowler caught only 2 touchdown passes in the 2016 NFL regular season. The entire year, he only had 2 touchdowns, and in one night, he tied that mark. Fowler played for Michigan State from 2010 to 2013 before going undrafted in 2014 and later signing as an undrafted free agent by the Broncos. And last but not least, the San Antonio Spurs have come to an agreement with former Detroit Pistons guard Darren Hilliard, signing him to a 2-way contract, which will place him in the G League. You can no longer call it the D League. It's now the G League due to the Gatorade sponsorship, right? Hilliard stayed busy this summer, winning FIBA gold with the American national team and current Piston forward Derek Willis. He appeared in all 5 games of the tourney, averaging 13.4 points, 3.4 rebounds in 23 minutes per game. He led the team. He shot just 40.3% from the floor. Now, the 2-way contract allows a G League player to spend up to 45 days at the NBA level, getting paid at an NBA minimum salary. That wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. You know that number, 517-355-WKAR. That's 517-355-9527. Again, go to facebook.com/currentsports and tweet us at Al Martin WKAR or the show at WKAR_sports.
Emotional game. I told you guys that last week that it was. I knew that it was going to have a lot of implications on the playoffs, and so that's the way we were prepared. And so it was an emotional game. And so after the game, it did not mean for it to be disrespectful towards any Ohio State people at all, especially not the team or the players, because they're a great team and a great program. So I didn't mean it to be disrespectful at all. I mean, we do the flag thing at OU Texas, and so that's just something that I got caught up in, an emotional win. And you know, yeah, it should have been something I did in the locker room, so I apologize for doing it in the middle of the field.
I think that's something Baker wanted to do. I mean, it's not – I knew – I found out after the game, you know, that it happened, and I knew right away that, again, it's not a – it's not taking a shot at somebody else. He was excited for the way, you know, the team played and in that kind of atmosphere and environment. And he's, as everybody knows, is an emotional guy. You know, he wears his emotions on his sleeve. He's got a competitive fire that – you know, I think rivals just about anybody. And I agree with you. I think he was letting his emotions out. And, you know, we, Baker, everybody has a lot of respect for Ohio State, their tradition, the team that they have, that they've had before, the team that they have now. That's why it was such a good ball game. So it was no shot at those guys. It was just they were excited about the way we came and played in a great football environment.
You know, I want to start this Tuesday afternoon, and happy Tuesday afternoon to all of our listeners out there. Thank you so much for allowing WKAR's Current Sports to be a part of your weekday afternoon. I am your host, Al Martin. Got to get something off my chest, though, because we didn't get a chance to address this yesterday. At the end of the Oklahoma Sooners 31-16 victory over Ohio State in Columbus, quarterback Baker Mayfield taunted the crowd. In a very cool way, if you ask me. He planted an Oklahoma flag at midfield, and it had everyone stirring. Of course, as you can imagine, specifically Ohio State fans. We're not pleased with Baker Mayfield planting an Oklahoma flag in the middle of the shoe. Mayfield said after the game that his move, while unplanned, was motivated by some lingering feelings that stem back to last season, Ohio State's 45-24 pounding of Oklahoma out in Norman last year. Mayfield went on to say, quote, "It was embarrassing for them to sing their fight song on our field. They are probably feeling the same way right now." End quote. So there was some disrespect from the Ohio State Buckeyes that go back to the last meeting between these two programs. And Mayfield had one of the best games of his career. I mean, the dude threw 3 touchdowns, netted almost 400 yards, 386 to be exact, on 27 of 35 passing. The dude balled out of control. Great game from Baker Mayfield. And you still have that remembrance of last season's moment where Ohio State decided to quote-unquote disrespect you and sing the fight song on your home turf. So, Mayfield putting up those kind of numbers in a winning effort over Ohio State, deciding to take a lap around the shoe and then go toward the middle of the field and plant the flag, the Oklahoma flag. I had no problem with it. If you don't want him planting a flag in the middle of the field, you know what? Why don't you do something about it and win? This is sports. You know, have we really become that soft as a society? It really just irks me when I see stories like this. You know, this participation trophy era that we live in really has not taught our youth today how to have thick skin. The dude wins the game. He's allowed to do whatever he wants as long as he does not harm anyone. All right? And as long as he's not lewd. He planted a flag. Whoop-dee-doo. Ohio State fans, cry me a river. I don't get it sometimes. You know, Oklahoma, again, they felt disrespected by Ohio State last year. Singing the fight song in Norman on their home turf. Was there an apology issue from Ohio State when that happened? I mean, come on. Let's be real here. And the University of Oklahoma making Baker Mayfield go to the podium and issue an apology because they basically didn't want him representing the school in that kind of vein. I get it. It's the university. It's an image conversation when it comes to them, right? But this is sports. This is sports. Trash talking is an essence of sports that I feel like is becoming a lost art. Fun trash talk. I mean, there's a line for sure, right? This was nothing. It's just completely stupid to me. This is sports. This isn't about academic fraud, Oklahoma. Let the kid have some fun. It's about winning a game and letting your emotions bleed out. No one was harmed here, except for the feelings of sour Ohio State fans and players, right? So I just had to get that off my chest because I thought it was a great moment. I loved it. Baker Mayfield, props to you. And you better believe that behind closed doors, among teammates, you better believe that Mayfield does not regret a thing. All right? I'm sure his teammates are still encouraging him from doing that. Had no problem with it. But you know what? Who did? Former Ohio State Buckeye and current Detroit Lions lineman, Taylor Decker. Yeah, Decker was not too happy. I mean, he really was not happy about this. After seeing Mayfield plant that flag into the ground, Decker hopped on to Twitter. Hopped on to Twitter because that's how we in 2017, that's how we express ourselves. Twitter is our journal, right? Decker jumped on to Twitter and had a few choice words for the Sooners quarterback. In fact, he suggested that Mayfield drink bleach. That's what Taylor Decker tweeted out. Quote, Baker Mayfield, and he actually spelled Mayfield totally wrong, M-A-Y-F-I-E-L-F. He may have been drinking something that night. Who knows? Baker Mayfield can drink bleach doing that. Then he had the emoji where it's just kind of a stale face. Decker caused a lot of storm on social media due to that. And he didn't, you know, and Decker didn't stop there. You know, he got into it with one fan by the name of John Sixkiller. That's the name of this fan, this Oklahoma fan who decided to go at Taylor Decker. And he went on to John Sixkiller tweeted a picture of Baker Mayfield planting the flag and the caption, "The buck stops here." And then he tweeted out, along with that picture, "Suck it up, buttercup," in regards to Taylor Decker's tweet. But Decker, you know what? He may have been feeling himself that night. He was just not having it. Decker decided to go back at him. He went back at Mr. Sixkiller and tweeted out, "Buttercup, based on your picture, you never came across a stick of butter you didn't eat, big fella." Oh, boy. Yeah, it was on. It was on from there. And then you saw all of this reaction on social media. And Sixkiller, he didn't lay down, no. He didn't lay down. John Sixkiller tweeted back at Taylor Decker during this exchange and said, "Ha ha, good comeback." This really got personal here. "Your mom always kept one on the table for me afterwards. Much appreciated." Wow. This just shows you how sports can just go too far sometimes. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. Let's talk Michigan State football. We didn't get a chance to dive into that win for the Spartans over the Western Michigan Broncos on Saturday afternoon. A lot of takeaways that you can draw from that game. Michigan State now enters a bye week before they welcome Notre Dame the following weekend, under the lights, national television, Spartan Stadium. Should be a fun game. The Notre Dame Fighting Irish are coming off now a loss to the Georgia Bulldogs, a one-point loss for Brian Kelly and his team. This morning, Mark D'Antonio took the podium, as he customarily does every Tuesday morning at the Spartan Stadium North End Zone, fielding questions from reporters, and he decided to do that this morning, despite this week being a bye week for his team. And he was asked a question. I just want to play a few bites here. He was asked a question about, you know, how he feels about having a bye week this early in the season. Here's what Coach D'Antonio had to say.
You know, we've had them all over the place in the past 10 years. We had one year where we had a bye the next to the last game. And, you know, I was fretting about that, but we had a chance to play for a championship that time. And so we had an extra week to prepare. You know, last year I think we had a bye after one game prior to the Notre Dame game and played very well. We've had a mid-year. I think most people would rather have the mid-year, but, hey, we had a long camp this year, longer camp than usual. So we've been 7 weeks straight with football. So I do think it's advantageous for our guys to step away. There's, you know, maybe it's probably best said, how do you play after your bye week? And, you know, that'll define itself. So I think the main thing we want to do is stay in condition, but stay healthy, stay football, you know, football conditioned, allow us to catch up maybe a little bit at the beginning of the academic year academically, and just do some things, sort of ground ourselves. I'm going to sit and talk to all of our freshman players one at a time this week and just sort of catch up with them. I think that'll be a positive for them because some of those guys are getting redshirted, some of them are playing. They're all in different things, you know, different levels there. So I'm going to try and do that. So we've got a lot of things to do. Our coaches will recruit, but, you know, I don't know that there's any perfect time, and I don't know that there's any bad time, I guess I'd say. So we'll just take it as it comes.
Mark D'Antonio this morning at Spartan Stadium addressing the media as Michigan State now enters an early week three bye week before welcoming Notre Dame next weekend. A lot of areas to note here when it comes to Coach D's press conference. They took the red shirt off of Connor Hayward one Saturday against WMU. And now when you look at that, you know, he also anticipates, I want to note this as well, D'Antonio said that he does anticipate freshman defensive back Dominique Long to play against Notre Dame. Folks, that would make 11 true freshmen playing for the Michigan State football team. That's a lot of young pups out on the field who are going to have to mature quickly. And I tell you what, so far they've done a great job at that. It's been pretty impressive to watch what has taken place in the first 2 weeks of the college football season for MSU football. 2-0, especially last weekend, against a Western Michigan team that pushed USC to the brink. That was quite impressive because Michigan State held down the fort, and it wasn't really close, to be honest with you guys. You know, there's multiple areas you can look at, you know, especially the defense. The defense has been the most impressive part of these first two games for me. Through two games, Michigan State's defense still has not allowed a touchdown. Through eight quarters, the MSU defense has not allowed 6 points. The only points it's given up remain the 3 points it allowed on a field goal against Bowling Green in the opener. Western Michigan got its two touchdowns on Saturday on a fumble return for a touchdown and a 100-yard kickoff return by Darius Phillips. Both by cornerback Darius Phillips. So that's been impressive. The Spartans' defense also held the Broncos' ground attack, a ground attack that just ate up the Trojans the week prior to. They've held that ground attack to just 116 yards. WMU ran for 263 against the Trojans. That's been impressive. The pressure they got on the quarterback on Saturday, on Wasink. Just two games of the year now. Again, I don't want to go throw on the parade here, but it's been impressive. That pass rush for Michigan State has been impressive. They got 11 total sacks last year, 4 on Saturday. They now have 5, almost halfway to the total that they had last season. That's been impressive. Chris Fry, Josh Butler. I mean, it's been very impressive what this team has been able to do on the defensive side of the football. Linebacker, you know, Andrew Dow, he's great. Sophomore Brian Lewerke, he has been a pleasant surprise for Michigan State fans out there as well. You know, that 61-yard touchdown in the first quarter. Again, the longest scoring run by a Michigan State quarterback in a little more than 40 years. That was impressive. I mean, I could go on and on and on right now for this team. If there's a few areas that do concern me, one, I got to say that running game has to be better. The rushing attack for Michigan State has to be better. We know we've talked all preseason about the three-headed monster. It's been pretty average so far, I must say. I don't know if we can call it a three-headed monster. Maybe a three-headed puppy right now so far. And I do believe they will get better, okay? Jokes aside, I do believe they will get better. We've seen, you know, some positive things from L.J. Scott, who did have a rough opener with the two fumbles. Fumbled twice in the win over Bowling Green. One coming near the goal line I thought was pretty much unavoidable. Helmet to football there. L.J. Scott looked better against Bowling Green. Fifth-year senior Gerald Holmes, who got the start against the Broncos, I thought he ran decent. Numbers weren't eye-popping here, but he ran decent. L.J. Scott led the rushing attack for Michigan State with a net gain of 86 yards. Brian Lewerke right behind him with 81 yards. How impressive is that, right? Then you had Daryl Stewart, who you can put in the backfield. He's so versatile. You got to be encouraged from, you know, what you're seeing from Daryl Stewart as well. He is very versatile, but he had a net gain of 70 yards on the ground. And then Gerald Holmes and Madre London. 35 net yards for Holmes on the ground, and then 28 for London on the ground. I do believe that LJ is still that guy, though. LJ is still the guy in the backfield. Mark D'Antonio addressed the running backs battle. I don't know if you can call it a battle at this point. I think that Mark D'Antonio is pretty much set in his mind that, you know, he wants all of these guys to get adequate snaps because he believes that they all have pretty good potential. Here's what Coach D had to say concerning the running backs.
Well, what I liked about the running rotation, I think, first of all, Gerald Holmes got the start. I think that was warranted. I think Holmes and London and Scott all ran hard, ran effectively. You know, LJ has the big run on fourth and one. Other than that, they're probably pretty even. There was some consistency to how they played. All of them had some nice runs, but he had the big one. But where it goes from there really depends on how we. You know, we're early in the season. We'll continue to play our three guys, and to me, it's a luxury and it's an advantage, and, you know, if one guy's not running it well enough, we'll put the other guy in. Or if he's running it really well, we'll keep him going. But I think we have a system and a thought process to this. It's not random, but we're trying to give everybody touches to allow them to prove themselves. And right now I think LJ maybe has 33 touches, maybe the other guy's about 20 each. So it's relatively close, but we'll do our best.
Relatively close. As it pertains to all three of these running backs. So nobody is really, you know, head over heels shown that they are the guy in the backfield. Now, I think, you know, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that one out. You look at the numbers and you look at the overall production from all three, it is still pretty close. I do believe that LJ Scott has a bit of an edge right now. And I love the wheel route that he ran for that touchdown. Lewerke to Scott in the end zone. Great touch from Lewerke, a great route from LJ Scott. So we'll see what happens after the week off for Michigan State. And real briefly, as far as the confidence goes for this team, again, only through 2 weeks, here's what Coach D'Antonio had to say concerning the confidence of his football team.
Yeah, you know, we've always had confidence here. You know, even last year, I felt like we had confidence to win every game. And we came out in every football game and we're ahead. You can't do that if you don't have confidence in yourself. Every team, I think, every year takes on its own identity. At the end of the year, you know what that identity is, and you get stamped. So if the 13 team played with great emotion and sort of just kept going like that all the way up to 13-1. So 2-0, we're 2-0, and that's the only thing that's important right now, but we're way too early to start saying this team has a common thread. I just think that right now we just need to take one thing at a time, concentrate on, focus on the present. We're an extremely young football team. I was looking at our guys yesterday. You know, we got one senior. I think We have three seniors playing on defense. So, not very many seniors offensively or defensively, and that's a good thing for the future. But we need to keep that in context to understand we have some very big games down the stretch here as we start after this bye week. We start, Notre Dame, Iowa, Michigan. That's just the beginning. So we need to stay focused on the present.
All right. Well, before we hit our first break, we do have two callers on the line right now. Real quickly, I want to get to Dave from Wyoming. Dave is on line one. Dave, how you doing, my man?
Well, doing well, and I'm glad to get to discuss Michigan State today. About Lewerke, that was really impressive, but if you watch the replay, it was like it wasn't until he was about 20 yards downfield that Western Michigan's guys started figuring out he wasn't going to slide. he just caught them so unaware,
right,
that I think from here on out, you're going to have a free safety or a safety, maybe even a middle linebacker, shadowing him the rest of the year. I don't think he's going to get that loose anymore unless it's a real breakdown. But, I mean, he just is, sort of right place, right time, play call.
He's got some speed,
Once he took off, it was very clear Western Michigan was not prepared to defend that because nobody – by the time they all caught on, shoot, he had a head start. Those guys' heads were turning, going, holy cow, somebody's got to chase him. So, I mean, that was good, but I don't expect another, that kind of scramble.
Well, probably not that kind of a scramble. I mean, 61 yards, that's a long way. But I do expect Lewerke to still torch defenses with his feet. He's great with his feet.
I also expect he's going to be in somebody's sights a lot more than he has been because of that.
Mm-hmm.
The other thing I was going to say is, they're playing a lot of freshmen. The downside is it's a lot of games, a lot of trainings. And so you got to, probably we're going to see more substitution because you don't want to wear these guys out because it's the most football they've played. But on the plus side, I know for a fact that D'Antonio has lost recruits in the past because of his propensity to redshirt. I mean, if you're the quarterback coming in and you get the scholarship, you're probably about, unless great cracks form all over the earth, including in the football stadium, chances are you're not going to play as a freshman, right? Mm-hmm. Almost every major program redshirts their quarterbacks, and they try to redshirt linemen. But, there's a lot of guys I think are a lot better trained than they were even a decade ago who can step in and play.
Right.
As before, and I think that between the transfers and the dismissals and graduation, it might have forced Antonio's hand, but I also think it can be a plus in recruiting in the future that he's shown a willingness to give guys a chance to get on the field and play as true freshmen that he really hasn't done that much before. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
Dave, thank you, and I do believe his hand was forced, as Dave just stated. I mean, you look at the amount of turnover from last year to this year. Coach D has had to really dig deep and had to really, push a lot of guys who are young, who are just now coming to campus from high school and let those guys know that, hey, we need you this season. So there's been a lot of pressure when it comes to that aspect, and I think that a lot of young pups have handled it very well. And again, to reiterate my point before we ran those bites, again, he does anticipate that freshman defensive back, Dominique Long, will play against Notre Dame. Again, 11 true freshmen playing on this team once that happens. Wow. All right, let's hit our first break. When we come back, we'll take another call, and we will get to our guest for today's current sports. His name, Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker from 2012 to 2015. He'll talk about how it's gone so far for Jim Harbaugh and the Wolverines.
Whoa!
Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527 is the number to call. We just finished up segment A, bringing you coverage from Mark D'Antonio's week three press conference from the north end zone of Spartan Stadium. If you want to comment on that, just call in. Or if you have anything else on your sports noggin, you know that number. Let's go to line two right now. Brief call before we get to our guest for today's Current Sports. We've got Kirk from Grand Ledge on. Kirk, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, my friend?
I'm doing fine. Well, I will keep it very brief. I just have two topics. One, the first one has to do with the use of Michigan State football, and I go back to Woody Hayes back in the days when freshmen were ineligible. He used to say for every sophomore you started, you would lose a game. So I think the youth is a great thing for the future, but I think it's going to come up and bite us at some point in time this year.
Okay.
The other thing is I want to petition Major League Baseball for an asterisk for the Cleveland Indians winning streak, since they're going to win seven games out of this thing against the Detroit Tigers AAA team. So I think they're really not beating Major League teams seven of these games of the winning streak, but rather they're against the Toledo Mudheads.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like that. I like that spin on that, Kirk. All right, my man. Thank you. I really like, I tell you, Kirk, he's always bringing it, man. Always coming with something different, right, Isaac? And we have not heard from Isaac Constance, our engineer of WKAR's Current Sports. How are you doing, my friend? Are you okay? Because the Saints, they did not come marching in last night. Let's put it
that
way.
What happened? I wasn't, kidding.
Yeah,
I went on a Twitter rant for about 2 hours last night. That helped relieve some of the pain. But no, I'm feeling it again now.
Right. I'm sure you are. Well, we're glad to have you, my man. I didn't know if you were going to show up to work today.
Thank you.
All right. You are here. All right. Let's get to our guest for today's Current Sports. Let's talk some U of M football with Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker from 2012 to 2015, now an aspiring broadcaster from Ohio. Alan now joins us via phone. Alan, how you doing, my man?
Doing good, Al, man. Thanks for having me on the show.
Oh, this is your first time on, and this has been in the works for a minute now, and glad to have you on our airwaves. I want to talk about the Michigan college football program right now. Of course, you being a former player and keeping close tabs on what has gone down with this program in the first 2 weeks of the college football season. A win over Florida, a win over Cincinnati. It's looked a bit rocky at times. I first off just want to throw in an easy one at you, Alan, and ask, does this team look like a top 10 team, I should say, through 2 weeks?
You know, that's a good question. Now, I still believe this is a top 10 team. I mean, if you look through the history of college football, you see a lot of up-tier teams like Alabama, Ohio State, USC, they do struggle with certain opponents that some people might not think they should struggle with. We won the game against Florida. That was a big game for us. Yeah, we came out and struggled against Cincinnati, but the most important thing is we got the win.
So, you know, watching that game, you know, it was up and down. It was like a roller coaster, and you could see Wilton Spate, who I think is still trying to find his footing when it comes to the preliminary stages of the year. Boos could actually be heard inside the Big House on Saturday afternoon. Is it justified, or do fans have to understand that growing pains are going to come with the season with so much turnover from last year? Michigan, again, is totally, you know, revamped both sides of the football and have a lot of young players, much like Michigan State, this upcoming season.
Right. I think the fans do need to be patient with this and understand that there will be some growing pains, especially with a lot of young guys playing on both sides of the ball. Fans are so used to seeing on Saturdays a lot of touchdowns being scored, or on the opposite end, the defense is shutting people out, making a goose egg on the scoreboard. But you got to understand that it's a 60-minute football game. Not everything will be perfect. So I think the fans do need to, you know, push off the brake pedal a little bit and understand that there will be some growing pains. The offensive side, timing and rhythm is everything. Defense is more about reacting, you know, fitting gaps, taking on blocks. But on the offensive side, the quarterback has to make sure that he has proper timing and good rhythm with his receivers, his running backs, and good communication with the offensive line. So overall, I do think as the season goes on, we'll be in really good shape.
What are your biggest question marks for this team, Alan, moving forward?
Confidence. That's the number one thing I look at. And I think that especially on the defensive side of the ball, they came in, especially against Florida, with a chip on their shoulder. Everybody talked about the Michigan defense being very young, being very inexperienced. I think only having, you know, maybe one returning starter, Mike McCray, and also having a few other guys that played significant snaps last year. But confidence, that's big on my radar right now. And I look at that on the offensive side as well. Last week in Cincinnati, there was some miscommunication, some turnovers. But I think that if these guys continue to have confidence in what they're doing, I think they're going to have a great season.
I tell you what really stands out to me about this team, you know, offensive side, is that defensive unit. I don't think anybody expected them to be this good this early right now, Allen. I mean, they're the speed that they've shown, especially against Florida. I mean, that was an impressive defensive performance against Florida. And this defensive unit has really turned a lot of heads. Statistically right now, they actually lead the Big Ten Conference. What separates them from the rest of the Big Ten pack?
They're hungry. That's the most important thing. That's the one thing I see right now. They are hungry. They're never satisfied. I've been watching a lot of the Big Ten teams so far the past 2 weeks, and what I've noticed is that this young Michigan defense is hungry and eager to be very successful. And I honestly think that this team might even be faster than last year's team. And I can tell you what, that Don Brown, he's done a heck of a job so far preparing these guys. And they've been in the system for a couple years now. Even though they might not have played last year, they still have been in the system. And you could tell on the field because they're playing fast. They're playing with great fundamentals and techniques. And I think that as the year goes on, we're going to see a lot of great things from this defense.
Which players specifically on that defense have really turned your head, Allen?
There's a couple guys, actually, that have been turning my head. Of course, we all know about Rashawn Gary. I remember I was actually talking to my father on Saturday. And for some of the people that might not understand football that well, I was seeing Rashawn getting penetration in the backfield over and over and over again, affecting the quarterback's throw, even if it wasn't a sack. So he's been doing really good in my eyes. And another player who's really stepped up for me is Devin Bush. He was a beast in the Florida game. He plays with his butt on fire. I really like the way he plays. He has a lot of heart, and I expect him to continue to be great the rest of the season.
Yeah, and you know what? Michigan safety Tyree Cannell. I think I may be pronouncing that wrong because I saw a story actually early this morning in which Cannell was a bit annoyed that people had been pronouncing his name wrong. Isaac, can you double check on how to say Cannell's last name? Maybe you know Allen, because he came out and said, you know what, this is how you say my name. Everybody's saying it wrong. It looks like Cannell. Huh. I think it's like, I don't know. I have to look that one up. But he was named Big Ten Defensive Player of the Week, actually. And you look at production from him, and, you know, also I saw Jim Harbaugh. It was a bit odd to see him in the press conference talk about the injuries that this team has endured thus far. And he said that moving forward, he would not talk about injuries moving forward. But, you know, he kind of talked about Donovan Jeter missing the remainder of the season with an injury. Luigi Villain, he's sidelined due to an injury throughout the first 2 weeks. Also, freshman receiver Oliver Martin, Kareem Walker, freshman running back. How glaring are those injuries for this team, and what way will those injuries affect Michigan moving forward?
You know, I think any injury is going to affect a team. It doesn't matter if you're a first string, second string, third string, scout team, on the special teams. It doesn't matter what role you have. Every role is important on a football team because you look at depth, especially with Donovan Jeter on the defensive line. You know, you rotate a lot of guys up front. Because those guys typically, they play a lot of plays. They get tired quicker. They're going up against, you know, offensive linemen as well. So I think with his injury, it's definitely going to be a challenge for the team to continue moving forward. But like we always say, next man up. So I definitely think that as time goes on, you know, once the guys get healthy, they'll be able to play.
When it comes to the rushing attack for Michigan, I tell you what, I was big and gung-ho on Chris Evans. Looked like he was having a great preseason camp. And don't get me wrong, I think that he's a great athletic talent for the Maize and Blue. But Ty Isaac has been fantastic for this team, Allen. Ty has put together back-to-back 100-plus yard rushing performances. What has allowed him to put together that type of performance, and has it surprised you?
You know, it all starts up front with the Big Hogs. I mean, they're doing a heck of a job so far, giving him holes and lanes to run in. And I think what Ty is doing a really good job on, he's hitting the hole immediately. There's no dancing in the backfield. As soon as he sees the hole, he's hitting it. He's running a lot of force. He has great speed for his size. And, you know, he's probably tired of hearing a lot of the stuff that he's been hearing over the past couple of years. I know he was a pretty big recruit coming into USC when he was there. Then he was highly talked about coming into Michigan a couple years ago and kind of fell off the map a little bit. And so there was a little bit of chirps going on. You know, we had Davion Smith in the past, of course, Chris Evans, Caron Higdon. There was a lot of guys that was in the backfield, and a lot of those guys were taking snaps. So I also think that, you know, Ty has been playing with a chip on his shoulder, and I think that it's shown so far these first two games.
Do you think we will see an emergence of Chris Evans as the year trucks along, or is Ty really, you know, planting his flag and saying that, hey, I'm the guy, give me the football?
I do think we will see Chris Evans a lot more. I mean, Jim Harbaugh, Coach Harbaugh knows exactly what he's doing. He has a lot of weapons on the offensive side. Just for the first 2 weeks, you got to give it to the man who's been hot so far, and Ty's been pretty hot these first two games. But I definitely do see that Chris Evans will have immediate impact coming up in the games.
Ty Isaac, he's up to 7.97 yards per carry on 31 attempts, 247 total yards in wins over Florida and Cincinnati. If you're just now joining us here on WKAR's Current Sports, where in the world have you been? We only have about, 7 minutes left in the show. We are chatting with Allen Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker from 2012 to 2015, now a broadcaster. Allen, before we get you out of here, you know, looking at Donovan Peoples-Jones, he's been a bit rocky when it comes to punt returns. Jim Harbaugh said that Donovan Peoples-Jones will get another shot at punt returns. For Harbaugh, how do you go about instilling confidence back in a player like Peoples-Jones?
I think that exactly what Coach Harbaugh is doing by putting him back out there on the punt return team and making sure he's catching those punts, that's exactly all he needs to do. Confidence is huge, especially for a young player. And I think that with Coach Harbaugh showing him that he still has confidence in him, I mean, everybody's going to make mistakes. Even you're going to see veterans that's going to make mistakes. That's something that's definitely not easy, catching those punts. I remember listening to like Jabril Peppers, Dennis Norfee back when I played with him. Even my father, he also played at Michigan as well as a punt returner. That is not an easy job at all. And I think that Coach Harbaugh is doing a heck of a job still putting him back there to boost his confidence up.
Yeah, Peoples-Jones, you know, he had trouble with kicks in traffic, really, Allen, one of which resulted in a fumble early on in that game against Cincinnati. All right, you're short on time here, I just want to ask, Allen, I mean, when looking at this year for U of M, again, they are a top 10 ranked team in both polls. How good do you believe this U of M program can be this year? Where do you see this ending up for Wolverines fans?
I absolutely see this season ending up in a Big Ten championship. We're led by a great, great, great coach, with Coach Harbaugh. The guy's a proven winner. So as long as the guys follow his system, I believe he will take them to a very, very, very far place when it comes to, you know, championships and even going to the college playoffs. I mean, look at last year. We were so close to winning the Big Ten title game. Going to the Big Ten title. We were so close to making the playoffs. So I think that as long as the guys buy into the system with Coach Harbaugh, Michigan fans, you guys should expect a Big Ten championship this year.
I want you to be real with me here, Allen. Watching Oklahoma top Ohio State over the weekend, what immediately went through your head as it pertains to the University of Michigan college football program?
Ohio State's a rivalry, so I definitely feels pretty good, you know, when I see those guys in Columbus struggle a little bit. But ultimately, you want both teams to be undefeated when it comes down to the big game. And, you know, you want a lot of high stakes when it comes to, you know, playing for the championship or going to the championship. And I do want, Ohio State to win out just because it's going to be even better once we beat them down in Ann Arbor.
I see that fandom bleeding through the speakers now. I feel you, Allen. And you know what? I made the statement on Monday. Looking at the Big Ten right now, there is not really a dominant team in the Big Ten Conference, right? There's not one team that you can look at and say, wow, okay, that team is that deal. You know, even when I look at University of Michigan right now, with them being 2-0 on the season and beating a team like Florida, you know, but you got to keep into account that they did have 10 suspensions in that game. You know, they still have a few question marks here and there, and I'm still waiting on Wilton Spate to get more consistent with play. What's that say about the Big Ten right now? Do you think this will kind of be a dogfight when it comes to the overall conference as the weeks dwindle down here?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you got, of course, Michigan, Ohio State, You got to throw in the defending Big Ten champs, Penn State, in there. I mean, they played some great ball the first 2 weeks. You got to throw in Wisconsin. But, you know, it's still early. There's a lot of still wrinkles going on the first 2 weeks. So I think that as the season goes on, we'll have a lot better idea of what teams will be standing out and what teams we think will be fighting for that Big Ten championship spot.
All right, Alan, before we get you out of here, for our listeners out there, what should we expect and what will you be looking for against Air Force this weekend?
Yeah, Air Force is no slouch at all, by no means. I mean, they play really hard every game. I remember playing them my freshman year in college. They brought the fight to us. But I definitely see Coach Harbaugh getting his guys ready, and I am expecting a big win for us.
All right, Alan, how does it sound if we get you back on next week? Because I think it'll be kind of cool for our listeners to get to know you as a player, what it was like. I believe you were recruited by Brady Hoke, right?
Correct.
Gotcha. Okay, because I want to dive into your background as it pertains to you ending up in Ann Arbor from Ohio. And very interesting stuff. Your name is Alan. Mine is Alan as well. And we spell it A-L-L-E-N, Isaac. It's annoying when people spell it A-L-A-N, all right?
Yeah.
And get this. I believe, Alan, your birthday is October 6th, right?
Correct.
That's a day before mine. How eerie is that? It's been the Alan and Alan Show. Alan Gant, former University of Michigan linebacker from 2012 to 2015. Alan, thanks so much for your time.
Yep, thanks for having me, Al.
All right, well, we have under a minute left in the show, and I really wanted to talk Detroit Tigers. As it pertains, not about the year, Isaac, but as it pertains to this Cleveland Indians record, that will be set 20 wins today. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
I mean, come on, let's be real here. So we'll kind of expand on that conversation. I have an interesting take on it that you don't want to miss. And also we'll talk about the NFL as now week one is officially in the books. How about Benny Beans Fowler? 2 touchdowns for the Denver Broncos last night. Very impressive stuff. Same time, same place tomorrow. As always, take care. And be easy, people.